This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. We are all now living through a difficult time. More than ever, we are being called to turn toward the light of Christ and to follow Him. So our work doesn't stop. In fact, it's more important than ever. Please consider making a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, between now and Divine Mercy Sunday, April 19th, to help support our efforts to offer spiritual guidance, love, and hope to the world. Hit the donate button at discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you from all of us at Discerning Hearts, and God bless. Discerning Hearts now brings you, during this Lenten season 2020, which is occurring during the global coronavirus pandemic, a daily reflection by Monsignor John Essiff. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, he will reflect in the beginning on the scriptures of the day, and then we will have a conversation about what is occurring in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives. We now present Monsignor John Essiff. How are you doing today, Monsignor?
Wonderfully. Thank you so much for asking. Our priests here are continuing with the quarantine. No one is coming to our door. Any kind of service that we need, or it's very, very limited. And I find that the place is very quiet. Very quiet. And especially our meals, when we get together, our whole dining area has been rearranged so that we have the distance between us. It's been affected. Yeah, especially the moods. We don't have any happy hour gathering, so that's part of our contribution to celebration, and we each are more deeply involved in again the silence, yes, and prayer. We have our own private masses. Each priest, there's as you, if you remember our chapel, we have a private altars, so the priests offer their masses in silence and prayer. So the mood is prayer and silence here at our villa. Thank you.
Heroic virtue, isn't it? In so many ways, patience, kindness, gentleness. You know, when we first went into this, it just, even a couple of weeks ago, you had to do what you had to do. But now that the time is settling in, you know, we're almost a month into it now. You have either two ways to go, I think. You can either go down a path that you start to get restless, anxious, even more so. You start listening to the news, which is chaotic in nature. You know, it's always the worst case scenario, the absolute bleakest, and it is bad. And I'm not trying to be Pollyanna, but you know, the all consumption 24/7, if you're watching cable over and over and over again, it can tear at your soul. And then there's the other path where you can turn all that off and try to connect with the type of a peace, to go deep and to allow the Lord to carry you. It's hard. It's difficult because this is such an extraordinary circumstance. You know, for those people that are listening to you, that just the everyday pew person, those people, the everyday faithful, they're trying, you know, but again, all the news that confronts them every day, Monsignor, it is so dire. And the drip, drip, drip of that.
Especially when they get into the numbers who are now dying, you know, when they start putting some numbers on them. I find that to be, this coronavirus, you know, when they talk about 100,000 deaths from it, that staggering figure just hits you right in the face.
You know what they're saying is that that's the best case scenario. But now there are commentators, we're destroying the economy, and now even more people are going to die because they're not going to have the money and the means. There's a play out there right now that is, which you're going to choose, the ones who could be affected by the virus, or are you going to destroy this robust economy and we'll have the Great Depression all over again? Do you know what I mean? It's Bleakville, the way the current media spotlight is shining. So for the average person who is listening to you now, and it may not be a bishop and it may not be a priest, but it's the average person, this is scary stuff.
The Grim Reaper. If we keep looking at, instead of the hand of God, and I would really like, again, constantly to refocus us all to God. You see, if we look at God looking at us and seeing that God is in total control, that we really believe that that is true, and trust in him. We have it on our American dollar, and which is kind of the sign of business and money and earthly goods. In God we trust. This is a great time to trust in God. Look at God looking at us, and as he looks down at us, and when we had talked about seeing him especially through his holy word, or that, you know, Palm Sunday is tomorrow, and we're talking about ways to be able to distribute a piece of palm, that a palm is the last Palm Sunday, you know, or whatever you have, like some people have a pussy willow, to show that this palm is the sign of the fickleness of humankind. When you talk about, the way that this is being interpreted and how this can be manipulated by the world, just think of hailing Jesus as king. And that's what the palm is a sign of. And killing him on Friday. The same crowd. Hail. And all his followers disappearing. Just like that. The fickleness of humankind. Take a sign in that palm. That's what it really means. Hail the king. Hosanna in the highest. It's a lot of emptiness. That's what it was. Because the crowd behind all this was going to kill him. We are going to kill you. And the scriptures today talk about the plotting and what went on behind. And it also tells us today of how that scripturally was predicted, that God, as he looked at the world through the eyes of Ezekiel, the prophet, and today his words, that God is going to send the Son of David, and his name is Jesus. And he came 2,000 years ago, and on the year 33 of the new era since he was born, 2,000 years ago, he came into the streets of Jerusalem and he was hailed as a king. And they stripped palm from the trees or pussy willows that they uprooted, whichever is a sign. Hail to the chief. Hail to the king. That's King of Israel. And that's what was held, put and above by Pilate over his cross. And on Friday, we killed them. The same people. And who is we? It's us. It was our sins. It was our falling into the power of Satan and our death for which he died. That's why he came. And in the celebration that we have of Easter, this Easter we're going to have the celebration of the light. In the darkness of death, of the tomb, and every church has a Paschal candle, and it's a light. And last year, we held each a sign of new life within us, that is Jesus has come to dwell within us, that he rose from the dead. That's what Easter is. That the greatest sign, and as you look at God looking at us, and we, especially who are Christians, we have conquered sin and Satan and even death. We are not afraid of death. Why? Because of Jesus. That's exactly what the meaning of Easter is. For the first time in the history of mankind, a man who was God came into the world, and his name is Jesus, and he is our Savior, and he died, actually deicide. He went through death. He died. Jesus Christ died on that cross. And he rose from the dead. And he said, I will. He suffered and he died, and I will rise on the third day. And the only one during that time who really trusted that that was true was his mother. There's no sign of her running around the tomb or going, she is the one who laid him in the tomb. An angel removed the stone from the tomb in which he was buried, and he emerged. That's what Easter is. And that's what this suffering and dying in this present coronavirus is really meant for. The tool that God is using to bring us all together into unity, even for this brief time, that we see as we look at God, what are you doing? Killing 100,000 of us? Killing maybe more? And especially at this time, to trust the hand of God. I get a call from Lebanon. A seminarian from Lebanon called me. And he was, because Daniel is being used a lot in the scriptures these days, and he was reading the book of Daniel, and that's very much quoted in the book of Revelations, written by John. And he was quoting not so much the death as the resurrection, and he was using some of Daniel's descriptions that these are the end times. No. The one thing we know if we read scripture, and a lot of TV evangelists are responsible for this, that this is the end time. Talk about a grim reaper. Talk about looking at God as now is the time. And we're going to take you all together into hell because you've been so bad. He sent Jesus to save us. And so many are not yet even converted. And why would he do this now? And that's what he said. No one knows the day or the hour except my Father. And he meant that. And so Don't listen to anyone if they say the time is now or it's the end of the world. Don't listen to them, because almost all the time they come up with that. They did it in the year 2000. They've done it over and over again, where they go sit on a mountain and wait for the end of the world. This is not what that is. This is a time to love. This is a time to pray. This is a time to love God, who loves us and sent his Son into the world to save us from our sins. Yes, the baseball season has been canceled. Yes, almost all the summer sessions that we were used to, our summer program, is now canceled. That I would go to Omaha and be with the seminarians. And so many school programs are canceled, and we're doing things online. But everything that we have right now is that God loves us. He's so crazy about us. And all of this is not for our woe, but for our welfare. God is crazy and loves his people. In Ezekiel, he says today to us, Lord God, thus says the Lord God, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations to which they have come. They were scattered all over because of their sins. I will gather them from all sides and bring them back to their land. I will make them one nation upon the land, in the mountains of Israel, and there shall be one prince for them all, and he will be the son of David. Never again shall they be a divided kingdom. Never again shall they be divided into two kingdoms. No longer shall they defile themselves with their idols and their abominations and all their transgressions. Why is that this God, Ezekiel, can say that? Because he also says, I will sprinkle clean water on them. And that's what we are, the baptized. The church is the body of Christ. It has been cleansed by his blood shed on the cross. And we have been incorporated. The church is the body of Christ, cleansed and united into one. Now, when I look at the church in the Protestants and Catholics in the West, and the Orthodox and the Catholics Orthodox in the East, and the Catholics and Protestants in the West, how broken this body is. This is what he's saying. I will gather it into one, because it is my body. And so it's not only that I really see, and as I said yesterday, it's not only the bishops of the Eastern Church and the Western Church that have to be gathered again into one. They almost got there with the Council of Florence. But we are in a new age, and this coronavirus can be an appeal to the body of Christ to become one, a new call to ecumenism, a new call. What is God doing? with this time? What is our response? Even though that all the businesses are closed and this temporary shutdown, there's something happening that is far greater than what the media is presenting us with, that it's a matter and a choice between the dying of so many members of our community or the progress that you had mentioned with regard to the safety of our business world and our economy. The love of God that is being poured out upon us at this time really requires, if some, even some, few would pray, the fruits of that prayer going up before God. God is truly in charge of this. This body of His is still so powerful that it brings about the salvation of the entire world. It is not I, as Paul says, that saves you. It's Jesus, and through Him, and with Him, and in Him, salvation comes to the world. Every good person who is truly holy, Francis in his day, 800 years ago, and all of the saints, and who are John Paul, they realized Mother Teresa, they realized that it was Him through them, and it is Him through us. I am Jesus in this time and during this day. And so that it's only He that can bring the salvation of the world. And so often I remain that manipulated person who it can be so easily deterred from the union that I have with Him. It's through Him and with Him and in Him. In the gospel today, Jesus is up against those people in the world. In John chapter 11, as we read Him, and as they want to kill Him, and He is face to face with this reality, they're accusing Him now of, because He had raised Lazarus from the dead, and the scene is now set that they're going to kill Him. If we look at John 11, 45 to 56, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus had done began to believe in Him. And some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." But one Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing, nor do you consider that it is better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish. He did not say this on his own, but since he was high priest for that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to kill him. So Jesus no longer walked among the public, and but he left for the region of the desert to a town called Ephraim, and there he remained with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many were up from the country to Jerusalem before Passover to purify themselves. They looked for Jesus and said to one another as they were in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast?" This is the gospel for today. Jesus did come, and he came, and tomorrow is Palm Sunday. He's going to have his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and they're going to hail him, and they're going to, this coming Friday, they're going to crucify him. You see, the palm is a sign of the fickleness of mankind. And when you say what you say today, like, "I really believe that he who is ready to lay down his life for all mankind," that we find ourselves constantly wavering between our trust in him and our trust in the dollar. I really believe that each of us, no matter who we are, whether we're a father of a family and a mother, that do I really trust in him who is in me? And it does mean that I have to really use the wisdom that I have. But the Holy Spirit will guide and direct each of us. The church is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the power that's in the church. We, each of us, are Christ's body in this world. And we, the body of Christ, have a capacity and a power by our baptism, by our confirmation, by our state in life, whether it be matrimony or ordination. We have that power from him, that this unity, one of the great signs of the devil is the power to divide. The church is divided. All men will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. And as a Christian, you have the power to love as a Protestant everyone because of Jesus, because of your baptism. As a Christian, you as a Catholic have a power to love from God. It's the power of Jesus within you. And you as an Orthodox have that power. It's through him and with him. He is still that one body. And when he in us is constantly at prayer, and this is a great opportunity in the world for this body to see, for it's the light of the world. When on Easter Sunday, Jesus, who says, I am the light of the world, it's not playing games that we have a Paschal candle, because the candle was the sign of light. And that's what we have. We have the light. I am the light of the world. That light is still burning in the heart and minds of every baptized person. That light is still burning in you and me. All of us. We have the authority and the power from him. By our confirmation, we have been sealed. You have the courage and the power because that came into us through the hands of the bishop. We are confirmed in that power by Jesus Christ through the bishop. The bishop is confirmed in his power by Jesus, who said to his apostles, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and that power is the Holy Spirit. Does that mean we are impeccable? No. All of us are capable of sin, and we have sinned. And as we enter into this Holy Week, as we enter into this time of the celebration of the triumph of Jesus, I am the light of the world. I have triumphed over sin. That each of us only has that power through him and with him and in him. I remain sinless only because of him. We are holy in Jesus. The only holy person is Jesus Christ. He is our head and we are his body. I experience this deeply when I enter into, by the power of the Holy Spirit, prayer. It is the power of the Spirit that has me enter more deeply into prayer. And through him and with him and in him, I now can come to glorify the Father. Adoration and power and glory to God the Father. As we stand here on the eve of Palm Sunday, about to enter into the holiest week of the church year, and we look, Abba, we, as a broken world, need Jesus more than ever. And we are on the dawn, hopefully, of a new world, the resurrection and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. The whole world is about to experience what he can do. It's in his hands. And the Holy Spirit is going to bless us all.
Monsignor,
Yes.
You invited everyone to kind of retreat during this time with you.
I believe, again, if you take and these are the scriptures that are given us, but especially if you could begin this Holy Week to read the Passion of Jesus Christ. First, according to Matthew. Matthew has an account of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. You see, all the details that are in this gospel are so important. He wrote this gospel because he wrote it for the Jews. They are what I would like and encourage you to read, especially concluding with the prayer that I've referred to so often in my prayer and so often in my longing for the church. That is the unity of the body of Christ. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning, world without end. Hey.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I would love to just pray with you the psalm for today. As we pray this psalm that's taken from Jeremiah. The Lord will guard us as a shepherd guards his flock. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it on distant isles and say, he who scattered Israel now gathers them together. He guards them as a shepherd his flock. The Lord shall ransom Jacob. He shall redeem him from the hand of his conquerors. Shouting, they shall mount the heights of Zion. They shall come streaming to the Lord's blessing. The grain, the wine, and the oil, the sheep and the oxen. Then the virgin shall make merry and dance, and young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will console and gladden them after their sorrow. The Lord will guard us as a shepherd guards his flock. God bless.
You've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essif, Lent 2020. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com. And in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.